two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dijanovic.
This is a very big deal for our college athletes in Utah. The question right now before the Supreme Court is, should college athletes be allowed to collect sponsorships, get paid for their name, their image, or their likeness? It's called NIL. But we don't know what the Supreme Court's going to decide on this. Jason Perry of the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah sitting in today for Dave Noriega. We had this discussion in our 9 o'clock hour. Now we've got a really big interview waiting for our listeners to hear from Mark Harlan, who is the athletic director at the University of Utah. Bring us up to speed on what this case is all about, Jason.
So these are two very interesting components of this issue. So when you look at the NCAA versus Alston case, at the heart of this is all these rules about amateurism. When you are an amateur athlete, there are lots of rules put in place by the NCAA, all sorts of things, from everything to the food to the gifts you accept, all kinds of things. And the question is whether or not those rules violate antitrust. Antitrust laws, whether those violate. That's at the heart of this case. But the implications on this big issue you just described are significant. It will impact every single state law on how athletes get compensated for use of their name, use of their image, or use of their likeness, which means like video games and other things like that. This is at the heart of this debate, is whether or not we should be compensating athletes in some way. So this case that is agreed to be taken up by the Supreme Court is going to help on that antitrust question, but the implications from that decision are going to impact every single one of these decisions on name, image, likeness.
I'm fascinated by this discussion. I want to bring Mark Harlan, the University of Utah Athletic Director, into the conversation. Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Good. And I'm fascinated for a very selfish reason. My son played baseball at a very small community college and actually ended up at a D3 school in New Mexico as a pitcher. And I remember when he was signing, this was a big discussion in our house that he knew. And he was actually quite aware and nervous about it. Like, he could not even as much as take a cup of coffee from anybody. This is a big deal for a lot of athletes.
Yeah, it really is. It's a gigantic shift in the philosophy of college athletes. It's time, mind you, that this piece, you know, begins. And of course, we're looking at July 1 as the launch period, where you guys were just discussing, anybody that's participating in intercollegiate athletics in the collegiate level can now monetize off their name, image, and likeness. And it's a good, fair step in the evolution of college sports. There's a lot of questions that still remain to be answered as we go into this. And certainly it's the right thing to do, as I said, but we also have to be careful that it doesn't harm the recruiting space and that nefarious actors don't enter into the arena, so to speak. But on the positive side, you know, for young people to be able to go out and work on sponsorships like other students quite candidly can do, or if they want to, you know, as your son, you know, could have done pitching lessons, which right now he can't do for somebody and get paid for it. So those are the things that we're excited about implementing, and certainly think we have a great opportunity for the University of Utah student athletes to really participate this in a broad way.
So, Mark, a couple of things on this. First, we have nearly 20 states that have passed their own laws dealing with name, image, and likeness. And as you mentioned, a lot of those go into effect on July 1st. Talk about how that is resulting in efforts from our members of Congress, because they're trying to weigh in on this issue as well. Talk about how those two groups are getting together and whether or not you see a likelihood that we will get some sort of federal preemption on this issue to try to get, you know, stop this patchwork of approaches that are coming.
Yeah, it's a great point and a key piece of all of this. As we launch into July 1st, it is very apparent, Jason, as you've mentioned, and that we have different rules in different states on how to implement that. And that is always a problem when you're in a competitive environment and you know, you want level playing field, so to speak. So, you know, the hope here is, as the work continues on in Washington, D.C., that there will be federal oversight, federal law that would, you know, align the 50 states in the way to do this. Now, what we're seeing happening, and Jason, you're more the expert in this than I'll ever be, is that, you know, with many bills, there's other elements that come to play that would be more than just name, image, and likeness. And that could be extended health care for student athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, the Pac-12 does up to 4 years of post-grad health care. We could see a bill, for example, in this bill that it would also have that. But also what's key to us, and I heard you guys talking about it, is to really look at the safe harbor approach. You know, the NCAA has been getting sued pretty much every day on various different topics. There's been hundreds of millions of dollars spent in this space. And we want to come to an agreement, hopefully on the federal side, that this is the way that we can go forward and move on from a lot of these lawsuits that are really, you know, hurting everybody as we move into this. But I'm excited about at least launching into this in July and seeing if we can get federal legislation that makes what we do in Utah exactly what they can do in California, for example.
Okay, so in my mom mind, I need a little bit of explanation from either Jason. Jason Perry, by the way, if you're just tuning in and listening, is an attorney. He's also the director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah. And we also have Mark Harlan, who's the U of U athletic director, live on the line with us, weighing into this conversation about college athletes and compensation. And here's where my mom brain needs clarification. If my son is recruited at the University of Utah, Mark, could he get some sort of sponsorship come July 1st? Or is Utah not one of those states that he could, you know, be sponsored or maybe get a free pair of Nike shoes? Explain that, first of all. And then I want you to go deeper in the details about what the Supreme Court case would actually do.
Yeah, so let's take the question. It's a great question. So what we know is he could come to the University of Utah and, as of July 1, be able to enter into a sponsorship agreement. Let's just say for a second he wanted to go on Cameo, the very well-known website where you can go on there and register your name and say happy birthday messages. I'm just giving one example, and get paid for that, which prior he wouldn't have been able to do. Or he could go out and get a sponsorship of some type. We're still working on the rules of what that would look like, and be able to do that. What he couldn't do is accept free items or cash or anything for non-delivered service. So those rules still apply. Right. And he couldn't come here because a donor, you know, offered him money to come here. Those rules still apply. But what this first step into this is solely about name, image, and likeness, being able to say, I'm Mark Harlan and I'm allowed to monetize based on the brand development that I have. This way, we still keep the amateur model where he's not getting paid to come here to play. He's actually getting a great education. He's getting it maybe at a full scholarship level. So that is the key changes that are coming in on July 1.
And then what does the Supreme Court, Jason, let me turn to you, have to say about this?
Well, it really talks about the rules defining what it means to be an amateur athlete. Maybe, Mark, you can take a second on this, because at the heart of this are these rules, right? The things they can and can't do. And those are what are at play with the very things you just described on what is still in effect on July 1st.
Yeah, the Alston case, which really every morning I come to work and wonder if we're going to get any message out of the Supreme Court. The Alston case is really looking at the definition of amateurism. And the NCAA primarily has won most of their cases up until this end that, you know, the amateur athlete is different than the professional athlete and should be entitled to all educational related expenses per their scholarship. And also, you know, name, image, and likeness will hopefully be, you know, understood by this court as that would help the federal, you know, legislation that's being drawn up. So we're waiting to see. The Alston plaintiffs basically believe that it should be more of a pro space, and, you know, the ability to be paid to be an athlete. You know, again, the NCAA has argued, and as many higher institutions, that we're not that. We understand that there's a lot of money involved, and we recognize that, and that's why we all, you know, are doing everything we can to make sure the student athlete experience is as safe as it can be and as rewarding as it can be, and have the best type of health and welfare professionals around them, but not taking that step into professionalism. So the Alston case will be a defining moment for our industry, and we really expect the decision at any moment.
Ooh. Well, I want you to promise, Mark, that you will jump back on the line here on KSL News Radio after you absorb whatever the court ruling is. Thank you so much, Mark Harlan, University of Utah Athletic Director, live on the line with us. And I, you know, you start talking about Congress, you start talking about the Supreme Court, you start talking about individual states. I can see where this is getting confusing for parents and for athletes.
So confusing. And the rules are already confusing and they're just fraught with peril. You're just always trying to walk that line, but it's even more unclear now, which is why so many believe, and Mark just indicated as well, why we need the federal government maybe to step in and do and preempt some of these state laws, bring some sort of uniformity to it. Because if not, states are left to, you know, pass not just their own laws, which of course they can do, but that is the ultimate in creating sort of the haves and have-nots when they try to pass laws benefiting their state, which means athletes are going to be recruited to their states, and some other states are just kind of left out. And not to mention that spot you just mentioned, which is what if a state doesn't have any laws, which means maybe it's kind of fair game for them to just engage wherever they want. And Mark mentioned the other thing is, how do you make sure you don't take advantage of these athletes? You know, with the deals they get, you want to reach down into high school and lock them up in a contract that may right. not be the best contract. It's just so many very difficult questions.
So that's why I want to continue to have the conversation with you, Jason. I've got a lot of questions. I know you're also an expert on this in this arena. You shrug your shoulders.
I try.
Don't you? Aren't you connected somehow to the discussions that are going on right now about this?
Yes. Yeah. I meet weekly with the Pac-12, for example. It was also, they're meeting with the NCAA. All these key groups that represent the athletes are interested in this issue. With primary motivation is to try to protect these athletes in some way and make sure not just from the health side, but the financial side.
Hey, if it's safe to do so, 57500, 57500 is our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line. I want you to text me your question to Jason about this issue right now. I've got 20. Million questions myself to ask Jason Perry about this NCAA ruling that we're expecting from the Supreme Court of the United States. My biggest question, I guess my first one out of the gates, I'm going to ask you this, is should NCAA athletes be paid to play? 801-575-TALK. Excuse me, I'm going to call for text. 57500. 57500 is the number to text if it's safe to do so.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Should student athletes at the college level get paid? That is a question we're exploring right now as we await a Supreme Court decision on this issue. We've got a lot of folks weighing in on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line at 57500. And look, I'm biased about this. Jason Perry is a co-host with me right now. He's with the Hinckley Institute of Politics. He's in for Dave, who's on vacation. And I'm biased because I'm a mom of two college athletes. My son was a pitcher at a community college in Kansas. And then also my daughter she played softball for that same community college. And then my son went on to a college in eastern New Mexico. But he was so fearful of having the weight of the authorities come down on him if he took anything. We talked about this, like, you can't take anything. And he was fine with that. A lot of people, though, Jason, say, well, the scholarship is payment. But let me tell you, they are on that bus for hours and hours. The bus was known for breaking down in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. They practiced all the time, and they did volunteer work. They kept the field up. And if you want to say a scholarship is payment, then these student athletes are making about $2 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you don't want to break that down by the hour if you did the windshield time.
Yeah, he's probably doing it for free.
Yeah, it's essentially. So these are really the two camps on this big issue. And then, you know, there's a lot of areas in between too. But there are a lot of people. And you say you take the University of Utah, but you take like a Stanford or something like that. And there is a group of people who say the payment is that you get a degree from a really great institution, sometimes with a scholarship. But the points you raised are very valid, of course, that, you know, it's it doesn't really compensate necessarily. That's why they added things like what you heard from our athletic director from the U, Mark Harlan, say. You add things like health care for 4 years after the fact. I mean, these athletes are getting
injured.
They just are.
Back injuries, shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
And is that where we want to just like leave them? It's like, oh, thanks for coming. You didn't get any money. You didn't quite get there. You lose your scholarship now because you're injured. And then you have to stay in bed for 6 months because you got a back injury.
Yeah, your point is right, which is why you see most athletic directors around the country, including those here in the state of Utah, saying it's time to address that issue more directly in terms of potentially compensating these athletes in some way. The universities get a great benefit. You have a star athlete that they bring all kinds of things, from donations and boosters to people in the seats. It's good for a university to have a bunch of really well-known name brands representing them too. But the other side is really what we're going to see, not just from this Alston case from the Supreme Court, but from what Congress does. I think we're going to see without question some changes to how this works, and athletes are about to be able to be compensated in some way for their names, for their image, for their likeness.
Turning to our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line, Jason, they said most of them have their education paid for. I think that's huge. It would ruin college sports if they're paid. So speak to that. What's the other side of this say? How could it ruin college sports?
Well, so there's this line, and this is what the NCAA is trying to find, and what all these – well, several of these states, some are just going all the way, but they're trying to find this line where they're still amateur athletes and not professional athletes. And so insert all of the things you get from a professional athlete, from their agents to their contracts to their – you know, just their abilities – on the financial side to do all sorts of things. There are some that say you want to find that line where you still recognize the fact that these are college athletes, as opposed to putting them in the category where there's really no distinction between them and a professional athlete.
So are these college students possibly going to be pulling up to the next practice in a Ferrari?
Well,
is that how this payment is going to work? Or is it like they get $50 because their name's on the side of a bus in the small college town that they're playing in?
Well, so this is what you're seeing from Congress. I mean, your example is exactly what Senator Mitt Romney said when he weighed in this issue in Congress. If this is not done right, you start seeing some schools being able to recruit purely because people are able to get better deals in those particular locations. What happens if you have a team where you have like the star quarterback or running back, and that person's pulling up to practice every day in a Ferrari, and you've got someone else on the team right there that's pulling up in their
The 1971 Datsun. That's my analogy.
In their Datsun, right? So that is a very real aspect. So there's not just those financial side of that, but what some people have even talked about too is what happens for the team part of that.
How does the team meeting go when the quarterback has the fancy car and everyone else is walking?
Yep. So these are things
the city bus. Yeah, that's a problem.
So it is a problem. And so they're trying to look at rules that make it so that you don't see that huge disparity. And not only does it happen on a specific team, but what happens when you say, well, the place where you get endorsements is like an East Coast or a West Coast, not on a Utah or something like that, then it becomes a recruiting issue for us, which just exacerbates that haves and have-nots. That's why this is such an interesting issue and why the NCAA and others really have to find some kind of way, at least in my opinion, it's going to have to be a federal fix so that we can bring some sort of uniformity to these laws.
So there's a lot of things that we're watching. We're watching Congress on this, and we're also watching to see what SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, does.
That's absolutely right.
And we don't know when they're going to rule.
Any moment. It could be any day. And what Athletic Director Mark Harlan said is right. I wake up every day and say, do we have a decision?
This is a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal for a lot of Utah families. And one we'll continue to watch, follow right here at KSL News Radio. Hey, who's here today? Maria Chalais is back with the news. Let's turn the microphone over to Maria Chalais right now with all your day's news. And don't forget, Boyd Matheson from 1 to 3 o'clock this afternoon right here on KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.